So, good afternoon, everybody. It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. George Dabar. Dr. Dabar is the section head, Hotel Dieu de France Hospital, Pulmonary and Critical Care. He has a master in hospital and health management, and he is assistant professor of medicine, St. Joseph University. Dr. Dabar will give us some updates in asthma treatment and towards optimal control of asthma and stressing on the role of Zenhale in the treatment of asthma. Thank you. Please welcome Dr. Dabar.
Thank you for this nice introduction. I would like to thank the organizers for this wonderful congress they prepared. I would like to thank Merck for inviting me to give this symposium. So we're going to be running out of time, I tell you, because we have to give the room around 4:15 for the opening ceremony. So I will try to keep track of the time. Asthma management and control, that's our objective, is to get the best control. I will go over the dual pathway of asthma, the role of anti-leukotriene in moderate asthma management, and then we'll talk about a new dual medication, ICS-LABA, Zenhale. Gina stated in their guidelines that it's reasonable to expect that in most patients with asthma, control of the disease can and should be achieved and maintained. And that's been a challenge for us to control and maintain asthma. And they proposed a management for asthma, a management cycle where we assess, adjust treatment, and review response. Assess meaning make sure we have the right diagnosis, evaluate symptoms, make sure that the patient uses the right inhaler technique, and make sure we're giving the right medicine for the right patient, and then discuss with the patient his preferences. Second step, when the medication are given, look also at the non-pharmacological strategy, like quitting smoking and change in risk factors mainly. After having done the treatment, we have to assess the response to treatment, look at exacerbating factors, evaluate lung function, and follow up the patient, make sure he's happy with his treatment. With all the available medicine we have now, we can have really a tailored treatment for the patient. Also, Gina told us and is telling us that look at the patient preferred treatment in each step. Look at the efficacy and effectiveness, safety and availability. So there's no point in prescribing a medicine that's not available or that the patient cannot afford. There is medicine that are efficient, but there are others that are effective, meaning some people, some patient may worry about side effects of some treatment and start cutting down on the use by themselves. So having said that, and just to remind you about the different steps in asthma management and treatment, mainly we'll be focusing on step two and step three, and the role of anti-leukotriene in step two and step three, and then we'll discuss about the dual, the ICS, new ICS-LABA. So how can you assess asthma control? Asthma control, we have different questionnaires, mainly you know them, ACT, asthma control test that looks at five domains, daytime symptoms, nocturnal symptoms, activity restriction, self-perception of control, and all this in the previous 4 weeks. There are other questionnaires like the asthma control questionnaire and asthma therapy assessment questionnaire. Focusing on the ACT, basically, we go from the green, the controlled patient, to the uncontrolled patient, and in the middle, the partially controlled patient. So any of this present, daytime symptoms present more than twice a week, limitation of activity, nocturnal symptom present, need for rescue medicine, or a lot of variability in the peak flow mean that your patient is partially controlled. And if you have three of those, the patient will be uncontrolled. Just keep in mind this when we look at the studies later. So how can we have the best control? having best control is keeping in mind that we have two pathways in asthma. In asthma inflammation, you have the corticosteroid responsive pathway and the leukotriene pathway. If you don't block the leukotriene, some patient may not be well controlled or totally controlled. And this is what I would try to show you, that non-controlled patient can exist even being on ICS-LABA. So looking at this, there was the MONICA trial, which is the montelukast in chronic asthma, that looked at the efficacy of montelukast in patients with asthma inadequately controlled or on ICS or on ICS-LABA. So a patient that would fit a step 2 or step 3. The design, it was a 12-month multicenter open-label prospective study to assess the impact of montelukast added to an inhaled corticosteroid or an inhaled corticosteroid with LABA in patients with uncontrolled asthma. This study was performed in pulmonary offices and pulmonary specialist offices around Germany, around 290 sites. Included patients had to be more than 18 years old with mild to moderate persistent asthma uncontrolled on ICS or ICS-LABA and other medicine even with oral steroids. So they added 10 milligrams of Singulair in addition to the ongoing asthma treatment. And basically, they looked if the asthma became controlled, measuring the ACT score or the asthma control test. If you look on the first column, here, I'm not sure if this is working. Okay. You see that 3/4 of the patients were poorly controlled or uncontrolled. Going over 3 months and then 6 months, you can see that a lot of the patients became controlled. The majority of the patients became controlled by the end of the study. 60% were well controlled or completely controlled by the addition of 10 milligrams of montelukast. And then if you split the patient between the one that were on just inhaled corticosteroids, which is the left panel, and the one who were on ICS-LABA, which is the right panel, also you can find a good responder, group of responder, 80% improvement, 80% of the patient became totally controlled or well controlled, and the patient who were not receiving LABA, the patient who were receiving LABA, 61% became controlled. What does it mean? Adding 10 milligrams of montelukast was able to improve asthma control. And asthma control is important because, you know, it's a risk factor for future exacerbation. Okay? Lung function by itself is not sufficient. We have to look at patient symptoms, and we measure them by asthma control. Here they measured the ACT or the ACT test. And then having an uncontrolled patient or not well-controlled patient is a future risk for exacerbation. And Gina told us that we have to do things to decrease the future risk of exacerbation. Now, we look at another group of patients, if they had allergic rhinitis or no. The patient who had allergic rhinitis, do they perform better? On the left side, you get the patient with allergic rhinitis, and then 74% of this group of patients became well-controlled or totally controlled. And the patient who had no allergic rhinitis, also 55%, had better control of their asthma, so well or controlled or totally controlled. Looking at quality of life by measuring the mini AQLQ, also you have 1.5 point increase in the test at month 12. That means it improved their quality of life. What else? Looking on the left side, at FEV1, on the right side to peak expiratory flow, and also significant improvement in peak expiratory flow and FEV1. And the conclusion of the study was the benefit of add-on montelukast in a 12-month real-world study, no placebo, this is just real-world study, receiving ICS or an ICS plus LABA were uncontrolled on their symptoms. You got more asthma control at 3, 6, and 12 months. You got better quality of life and improved lung function measured either by FEV1 or peak expiratory flow rate. And importantly, patients receiving ICS or ICS-LABA benefit from it, or patients with or without allergic rhinitis also benefit from it. So having said this on the leukotriene cascade and the leukotriene pathway, let's look at the role of inhaled corticosteroids, and then introduced the new ICS-LABA or Zenhale. Okay. ICS-LABA Zenhale is a fixed-dose combination of two products that you know maybe from before. It's the combination of formoterol and mometasone furoate. It's indicated for long-term use of treatment of asthma, used twice daily, and it reduces asthma exacerbation, and it's used in adults and in children above the age of 12 years. Well, we're combining two excellent molecules in Zenhale. The mometasone furoate, which is a well-established and proven ICS that was used in the United States since 1999 with Asmanex, mometasone furoate. So it is quite potent anti-inflammatory inhaled corticosteroids. It has very high affinity to the human glucocorticosteroid receptor, and it has a low systemic bioavailability, as we'll see later. And then the formoterol, you know it well. It's a well-established, proven LABA with a fast onset of action. It's an excellent long-acting beta-2 agonist. And just to remind you, the interaction between the glucocorticosteroids and the beta-2 receptor, when the glucocorticosteroid receptor is activated by a potent inhaled glucocorticosteroids, it will give a positive feedback on the beta-2 agonist receptor, so you will have more receptors available that will be less degraded and you get less tolerance over time. This is the importance of combining an inhaled corticosteroids with a long-acting beta agonist. Why mometasone is superior as an ICS, as an inhaled corticosteroid? Well, an anti-inflammatory inhaled corticosteroids it has a very strong anti-inflammatory effect. It is potent, it has a very high affinity to the glucocorticosteroid receptor, and this is a way of measuring its high anti-inflammatory effectiveness. Also, the substitution pattern of the D-ring of the inhaled corticosteroids is associated with a very high affinity to the receptor. As well, it contributes toward a high selectivity. Those properties gave mometasone furoate a high binding affinity that is around 2,200 when measured compared to fluconazole, which is 1,800, budesonide 935, and beclomethasone only 53. So it's really the most potent among those four. And then when we look at pharmacological attributes of inhaled corticosteroids that correlate with clinical efficacy or effectiveness, we look at three things: bioavailability, receptor binding affinity, and protein binding. Mometasone has a high pulmonary availability. It allows for more drug at the site of action. And when you have high, low oral bioavailability, you decrease systemic side effect. And when you have high receptor binding affinity, you have high binding strengths that's correlated with high anti-inflammatory activity. This is why it's so potent. And low binding stress is correlated with lower incidence of systemic side effect. Also, mometasone also has high protein binding, which is not very important for the lung, but high protein binding capacity is associated with a reduced risk of systemic side effect. And when you compare the four known inhaled corticosteroids for us between beclomethasone, budesonide, fluticasone, and mometasone, looking on the left side, you have the affinity, and this is very low oral bioavailability. And this is the high protein binding affinity. It gives you a very potent inhaled corticosteroid with a very low side effect. This is how we define effectiveness. Okay. What's about the formoterol compared to the salmeterol? Well, it acts faster in 7.2 minutes compared to 14.1 minutes for salmeterol. The onset of action is also decreased improvement in FEV1. A 15% improvement in FEV1 is in 12 minutes compared to half an hour for the other one. The duration of action is 12 hours for both, and one is a full agonist while the other is a partial agonist. Let's look at clinical studies with mometasone. This is just looking at mometasone alone, 12-week active control study to compare the efficacy and safety of mometasone at different doses, the low dose being 100, medium dose 200, and high dose 400 twice a day. So 200, 400, and 800 as a total per 24 hour, compared to budesonide 400 twice a day or 800 microdose. This is looking at the data on for 730 patients at 57 study centers in 17 countries, mainly United States and South America. Patient population 12 years or older who had a history of asthma for the last 6 months that they were maintained on a daily inhaled corticosteroids for at least a month. And the primary endpoint was to look at the change from baseline in two endpoints of the study in FEV1. And the four arms of the study, you got the run-in periods, and then one group with low dose mometasone, second group with medium dose, third group with a high dose of mometasone, and then compared to 400 twice a day of budesonide up to 12 weeks. And if you look at the results, so mometasone at the medium and a high dose showed a superior bronchodilator activity compared to the low dose and to the high dose of budesonide. So looking at the pink and red curve, this is the medium and a high dose of mometasone. The white is the low dose mometasone. And then the brown one or the orange one that you see is the budesonide 800 microgram. Or high dose. And you can see that there is a higher larger bronchodilation with mometasone measured at 12 weeks. So the medium and high dose, or 200 twice daily and 400 twice daily of mometasone, was shown to significantly improve pulmonary function measured by FEV1 as compared with budesonide 400 twice weekly, twice daily for in a 12-week trial. What's about the combination? Zenhale is a combination of two medications, which is formoterol and mometasone. The many studies have been done. I'm not going to go over them. I'm just going to start with the Nathan study. It's a 26-week randomized multicenter double-blind double-dummy placebo-controlled study. This is the study that led to the FDA approval of the drug of Zenhale. The objective was to measure the efficacy and the safety of mometasone for formoterol in combination. So what they used is they used the mometasone for formoterol compared to formoterol alone, mometasone alone, and placebo. So it was an asthma trial with a placebo. So, and the co-primary endpoint was the time to first asthma exacerbation and the change from FEV1, so lung function and exacerbation. And this is the design. It's a 26-week randomized multi-center double-blind double-dummy placebo-controlled study. If the FDA asks for it, that means you know that it was done in the United States, North America, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. Patients included were not well controlled on a medium dose of inhaled corticosteroids or ICS-LABA. Few patients were on ICS-LABA. And then the endpoints, as we said, FEV1 area under the curve between 0 and 12 hours after the dose, after the treatment, and asthma deterioration. It's interesting that in this study, asthma deterioration was not just asthma exacerbation by treatment or emergency room visit. It was also by measurement of lung function loss. So patient had e-diaries. They connected almost daily through the internet or through the phone to the research center, and when the researcher found that they dropped in the lung function as far as peak flow or FEV1, they considered the patient was getting worse, and they considered it as an event of exacerbation. And then when we look this is FEV1, basically day one improvement in lung function were evident for both mometasone furoate and the formoterol group. As early as 5 minutes, and it peaked at 2 to 3 hours and were sustained above pre-dose level through the 12-hour assessment period. And then we look at exacerbation. 70% of patients taking Zenhale did not experience severe asthma exacerbation in the 6 months trial, where you have around 70% of the patients that exacerbated that were on placebo or on just formoterol, so they were not taking inhaled corticosteroids. And then we look at the whole trial, at the FEV1 during the whole trial, you can see that you have 2 times more bronchodilation with Zenhale and compared to mometasone alone or placebo. So the good effect of the formoterol, and surely having the combination formoterol plus mometasone gave the largest bronchodilation. Also, the difference between the blue and the orange line was not significant. It was significant against the green and the gray, which is the mometasone alone or the placebo. Looking at asthma control, you got less awakening, 60% in the night awakening using Zenhale, 105. Don't forget, this is 105. This is the medium dose, 105 2 inhalation twice a day compared to placebo. In conclusion, the medium dose of Zenhale, 105 2 puffs twice a day, significantly prolonged time to first asthma exacerbation, and then it improved 2 times more lung function over the trial. Let's compare it to whatever we have drugs on the market now. Compare it to fluticasone, salmeterol. So looking at efficacy and a safety trial. This trial was designed as a non-inferiority. So they were not trying to show that this drug was superior to the other. They were trying to show that it was as good and as safe as the other. So it's a non-inferiority 12-week trial, randomized, evaluator blind, active control parallel group. So evaluator were blind to whatever the patient were taking. It was not double blind, double dummy. There were no placebo in this trial. It's a non-inferiority trial. 722 patients with asthma aged 12 to 82. Study subject who had persistent asthma requiring maintenance treatment on medium dose of inhaled corticosteroids with or without LABA. Endpoint, change from baseline to week 12 in area under the curve for FEV1 measure serially from 0 to 12 hours. Secondary endpoint, assess onset of action and patient-reported outcomes. So looking mainly at lung function. And this is the design. So medium dose versus medium dose. Medium dose Zenhale, medium dose fluticasone salmeterol. Randomization, mean FEV1 around 2.35, 74%. So mild persistent asthma. Primary efficacy endpoint changed from baseline at 12 hours in FEV1, measured by area under the curve. And then just this is the patient characteristic. Bunch of them were on inhaled corticosteroids. Another smaller group was on ICS LABA. And this is looking at their lung function and their ICQ, ACQ, IQ test. The main result, this is looking at FEV1 at the beginning of the study after administering either of the drug. And then Zenhade had superior bronchodilation, quicker bronchodilation compared to the fluticasone containing drug. So by 5 minutes, you had much more bronchodilation. This is just at the beginning trial. Don't forget, patients were on inhaled corticosteroids or a combo. Then they were put in a trial on either of the drug. And this is looking at lung function. When you look at 12 weeks, it parallels. So there's no real difference. Treatment with medium dose Zenhale improved lung function similar to seretide 250 as measured by change from baseline to week 12 in FEV1, 0 to 12 hours. However, Zenhale demonstrated greater improvement in FEV1 from baseline at 5 minutes post-dose on day one, just at the beginning of the trial. Both drugs demonstrated similar improvement for the other secondary endpoints. So, through numerous clinical trials, around 1,100 patients were enrolled. And in those 1,100 patients enrolled, trials, three months, 6 months, 12 months trials, looking at side effects, you find the side effects that you find in all other inhaled corticosteroids. You got dysphonia, oral candidiasis, and headache, all around 1%, 1.4%. For serious side effect, there is nothing major to mention. And then very rare, uncommon, you know, you find them with all other medicine. Let's look at long-term safety. This is another trial design with medium and high dose. Safety, you need to use medium and high dose. So using medium dose Zenhale, 205 and then 2 pass BID, it gives you 800 micrograms. This is the high dose. The medium dose Zenhale, 105, 2 puffs twice a day. And then compared to fluticasone, 250, 25. This is the inhaler. This is not the discus. You guys are used at the discus here. And this is, so the high dose and the medium dose, 125, 25, 2 puffs twice a day. This is a long trial, 52-week, randomized, multicenter parallel group, open label, and evaluator blinded safety in patient previously on medium to high dose inhaled corticosteroids. Okay, medium high dose corticosteroids. Patient between the age of 12 and 65 received so 2 inhalation of whatever drug arm they were in, and the primary endpoint in the study, this is a safety trial, adverse event and measurement of plasma cortisol 24-hour area under the curve and ocular changes. You know, inhaled corticosteroids, cataract, and glaucoma is a major concern. Results, headache, dysphonia, tremor, and after stomatitis were the most common treatment-related adverse events. The incidence and rate of treatment adverse event and serious adverse event were similar across treatment group, across the 4 are no asthma-related deaths, no clinically significant changes in blood chemistry, hematology, or ECG. Long-term result, ocular event, which is interesting. This is one of the rare trials where you look at ocular events. Also, it's 1 year. You know, ocular events happen maybe when you have 4 or 5 years use of the medicine. No posterior subcapsular cataract reported in the Zenhale or the fluticasone salmeterol group. However, 3 patients discontinued the study because of treatment-related ocular adverse event, 2 for lens distortion in the mometasone for salmeterol group, and 1 for reduced visual activity in the fluticasone salmeterol group. Looking at the cortisol now, Zenhale gave less suppression of 24-hour plasma cortisol when measuring the area under the curve. This is lab measurement. We have no idea about the clinical impact of those measurements. But looking at the dose, the medium dose has the least effect on area under the curve for cortisol level compared to the medium dose of fluticasone. So less suppression. This is mainly related to the property of the drug, high affinity to the receptor, high protein binding affinity. So we showed that it's efficient, that mometasone is a superior molecule, it's comparable to whatever is available on the market, it has less side effects. Now, what's about the dosing? In Lebanon, we have the 2 dosages, 105 and 205. And you can do 105, 1 puff twice a day, it will be equivalent to the low dose, which is 55, 2 puffs twice a day. Or you can do the medium dose, 105, 2 puffs twice a day, or the high dose, 205, 2 puffs twice a day, getting you 800 microgram. Plus, it has a counter. And so this is the low dose, and this is the high dose. What's about patient satisfaction regarding dose counter, the measurement, regarding tracking the number of dosage left and looking if it was easy to use. So at 4 domains, dose counter relieved anxiety about taking subtherapeutic dose, you know, not pressing well enough. Dose counter relieved anxiety about running out of medicine. MDI dose counter kept track of the doses. MDI dose counter was easy to use. And disagree, neutral, and agree, and you can see a bunch of the patients, around 80%, agree with those statements. It's interesting. When you look at MDIs and DPIs and nebulizer, etc., we take things for granted, but when you think about it, there are 2 main issues with our patient. One, if they can inhale correctly or they have the capacity of inhaling, and 2, if they use the device appropriately. And this is looking at the patient who had poor inspiratory flow. The recommendation for a patient with low inspiratory flow is to use a PMDI or a nebulizer. And the patient who inhale well can take any of this. What's about the patient who have poor coordination? Poor coordination with good flow, you can use any of this and use a spacer. But if you have poor coordination and a low flow, you can use a PMDI with a spacer or a nebulizer. So, with the advantage of Zenhale, it can be administered to the asthmatic patient irrespective of their inspiratory flow and irrespective of their coordination by using a spacer. I'm not going to take a long time to finish. I just will conclude that asthma can be controlled. Keep in mind the dual pathway. Option in moderate asthma include ICS with leukotriene antagonist, ICS LABA plus leukotriene antagonist. A new ICS LABA is available, which is Zenhale, in low, medium, and high dose, the 200, 400, and 800. Zenhale is mometasone furoate plus formoterol. Mometasone furoate is a potent ICS, inhaled corticosteroid, with high affinity to the glucocorticosteroid receptor. Zenhale is efficient. It reduces exacerbation, improves lung function, and asthma control, as I showed you through the different studies. And Zenhale is safe. Zenhale device is a PMDI with a counter. It provides excellent patient satisfaction and is adequate in asthmatics with low inspiratory flow and or poor coordination. I'm going to stop here and take questions if you have any questions. We have the lights.
Any questions, please?
Je vous remercie, Dr. Dabar, pour cette présentation. Une question maintenant avec les nouvelles recommandations de l'hygiène. On sait que de plus en plus la maladie asthmatique, c'est une maladie qu'on suit avec l'état de notre patient tous les jours. Deux questions en fait qui se posent. Où est-ce qu'on en est du dosage qu'on adapte avec notre patient? On a parlé de doses fixes ici. Est-ce qu'on peut changer les doses avec les besoins de notre patiente, hein? Et de deux, parce que, en fait, nous, les nouvelles recommandations, c'est qu'on donne à notre malade de plus en plus un seul device qu'il va utiliser au besoin comme contrôleur et comme reliever. Qu'en est-il de vos recommandations si on passe, par exemple, à ce nouveau médicament qu'on a dans le marché?
D'accord.
Merci.
Pour la première partie de la question, I will answer in French. You ask me in French. I will answer in French.
You can, of course.
C'est en arabe. So, Pour la première partie de la question, le malade, l'escalade dans les doses est jusqu'à ce que le malade soit totalement contrôlé ou bien contrôlé. À partir de ce moment-là, les recommandations, c'est que quand le malade est contrôlé pour un bout de temps, on peut désescaler la dose. Donc, ça, c'est pour la première partie de la question. Pour la deuxième partie, pour le device, c'est vrai, dans les GINA, le seul device qui est utilisé pour le contrôle et le soulagement en même temps, il est juste approuvé pour le formoterol avec la budesonide. Il n'est pas approuvé pour les autres devices, malheureusement, parce que les études ne sont pas là en tant que reliever and controller. Donc, mais Gina ne dit pas qu'il faut utiliser un seul device, il dit qu'il faut adapter les devices. Et c'est un management, c'est une gérance du patient. Donc, le malade est à l'aise avec quelle molécule, il peut acheter quelle molécule, il utilise de façon appropriée quel device. Donc, il y a toutes ces variables qu'il faut évaluer avec le malade. Nous, on trouve souvent, par exemple, chez les adolescents, il y a la corticophobie des parents, qu'on va donner une molécule inhalée de corticoïdes. Bon, on se trouve souvent à donner deux médicaments pour éviter de donner des corticoïdes parfois, parce qu'on a beau expliquer, il y a les gens parfois, ils ont une inhibition pour les corticoïdes. Mais pour les GINA, ils ont recommandé un produit pour le moment en reliever and controller at the same time.
Donc on ne peut pas extrapoler et l'utiliser au besoin.
Je ne sais pas, mais on peut extrapoler sans retourner à la science. Et n'oubliez pas que ces molécules ne sont pas les mêmes. Il y a des molécules qui sont plus potentes. On a présenté une molécule qui est beaucoup plus potente que la budesonide ici. Et sachant que la budesonide a plus d'effets secondaires, on ne veut pas s'étaler sur ça, mais il faut faire attention à tout ça.
D'autres questions, docteur Fourier.
Pour ton exposé, si tu considères la la pathway, leukotriene pathway dans chez tes asthmatiques, est-ce que tu donnerais des antileucotriènes, puisque c'est une considération physiopathologique, chez tous tes malades pour un contrôle total?
Pour un contrôle total, oui, mais chez tous mes malades, non, parce qu'il y a des malades qui vont être contrôlés par des doses moyennes peut-être de corticoïdes inhalés, ou il y a des malades qui vont être contrôlés par des ICS là-bas. Donc, comme dans le Monica trial, c'était tous des malades qui n'étaient pas contrôlés avec ou des corticoïdes inhalés seuls ou par des ICS là-bas. Et pourquoi ils ne sont pas contrôlés? Probablement parce qu'on n'a pas une des explications pathophysiologiques, c'est le leukotriene pathway. Donc, c'est le fait de n'avoir pas bloqué toutes les cascades inflammatoires qui menaient à l'asthme de cette personne-là. Mais pas toutes les personnes. Donc, c'est pas toutes les personnes. Bah, y a des gens qui sont corticostéroïdes nasifs avec une dose moyenne ou faible dose de corticoïdes. On arrive à bien les contrôler. Et on sait qu'il y a des gens qu'on donne 3 médicaments, donc un ICS lab à plus de leukotriene, ils vont pas être contrôlés. On n'arrive jamais dans l'asthme. Les études ont pu montrer depuis Toch qu'on ne peut pas contrôler à 100% tous les malades, malheureusement.